And now open your hearts and minds to receive a fresh word from God that can change your life, delivered by our lead pastor, Eddie Swan.
Morning. Hold up your Bibles and let's jump into the word for today. This is the word of God. I will choose to believe it over my circumstances. I will choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, I'm on week 5, not planned, but week 5 of the message series entitled, I'm Not Blank Enough. And each week, we began to fill in the blank with some words. The first word of the series was the word good. Many of us feel like we're not good enough for God to save us. We're not good enough to be used by God. We're certainly not good enough to be called good by God. And yet, that is exactly what God calls us. He, because of the actions of Jesus and those of us that have accepted the gift that Jesus provided for us on the cross, we have been made good. God, Jesus imputed his goodness to us. So if you were, let's say on a scale of 1 to 100, you were a 1 when it comes to the good scale. And 100 being the best, Jesus being the perfect 100, and every one of us somewhere in the middle, Jesus says, the minute you accepted me, you went from 1 to 100. Wherever you were to 100, you became good because of the imputed righteousness of Jesus in your life. Just look at somebody and say, amen. Amen. Week number 2, I said, I'm not smart enough. And I think I wrote that more for me than anybody else. I have said probably through my life, through the years, I'm not smart enough. Anybody ever felt they weren't smart enough? So it wasn't just me. It's like 18 more, y'all. But the scriptures tell us that fools reject the things of God and that wise people run after God. And so the fact that you're in church, the fact that you are seeking and running after or pursuing a relationship with Jesus, that in and of itself makes you smart. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm smart. All right, good. So you, now you're good and you're smart. Week number 3, I talked about this statement, I'm not attractive enough. Problem is we look in the mirror and we say, man, I need some of this, less of that, a little bit here, not so much there, you know. And we can go look, and I said this, and I think this is so important. We can go look in creation. We can look at a tree. We can look at a mountain. We can look at a lake, a river, and we can go, wow, God, you are amazing. Look at a sunset. And we say, God, we look at his creation and we think amazing, yet we look in the mirror at the epitome, at the greatest part of God's creation, and we go, I think you messed up, God. Instead of saying, hallelujah, look at you did, Jesus. Remember this, God's not really looking at the outside. He's looking at the inside. He's worried about your heart, right? He's looking for people like David who have a heart after God. Yes. Amen. Last week, I started the phrase, I'm not deep enough spiritually. And remember, when we talk about being not deep enough spiritually, I believe that, and I said this, and I want you to bear with me as I kind of go through it again, that the church, not New Beginnings, but the church as a whole, over the last 50 or so years has become a gathering place of people that don't display a lot of power. We got lots of people, not so much power. Matter of fact, do you know that in the last 50 years, churches, some churches throughout the world have grown into the tens of thousands of people. There's a church that was in Korea that grew to, they say, 250,000 people on a weekend. 200, it was a, I think it was a 7-story building that was the church. And there were worship centers on multiple floors and people were watching. It was a massive church, 250,000 people. There are churches in America that supposedly tout attendance, weekend attendance at 50,000 people in attendance. But I promise you that there are a lot of churches that you'll go in, lots of people raising our hands, worshiping Jesus, but not a lot of power displayed. You know what? We don't want to be that kind of church, folks. We want to be a kind of church that's so spiritually founded and deep that when we show up, Jesus shows up and he answers our prayers and he heals our sicknesses and our diseases and our relationships. And I don't I don't know about you, but I went to church for 35 years and walked in and went through the motions and walked out and nothing ever changed. When I go to church, I expect something to change. Because we serve a God who is the God of the impossible. And I told you last week, you know, the problem is that many guys like myself who are up here preaching to you for 20, 30, 60 minutes on a Sunday are preaching messages that have a little truth, a little sprinkled in the sermon, but a whole lot of world, right? A whole lot of things of the world. And listen, we don't need a lot of worldly teaching. I don't need to go get a self-help a motivational speech. I need to go hear a word from God. Amen? And I pray that when you come here on Sunday, you're getting a word from God. And then when you leave here, your life is different because you felt like you heard from heaven. Well, I don't want it to stop there, though. See, when you come to church, and I've said this many, many times through the years, this cannot be your only source of spiritual nourishment, the spiritual nourishment in your life. You must, on your own, go out there and begin to open the Word yourself and get into the Word. That's why I started promoting you bringing your Bible to church, because I want you to not just sit on a coffee table, to not just be on a bookshelf. I want you to use it. I want it to be so close to you that you're picking it up and you're opening it and you're going to it yourself each and every day. Do you know why? Because you, inside of you, every one of you that calls on the name Jesus has the Holy Spirit in them. The ability to discern spiritual truth is in you. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 26. Now, he's preparing in John chapters 14, 15, 16, 17, his disciples for his departure. He's getting ready to leave to go back to heaven. And he's saying to them, hey, get ready. I'm going to leave you. I'm really going to leave you. I'm going to be out of here. But I'm not going to leave you alone. And he says in John 14, 26, and if you have a red letter edition of the Bible, this is in red because this is him speaking. But it says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. You see, the Holy Spirit in the life of a follower of Jesus is our teacher. And if you are a follower of Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. You have the ability to discern spiritual truth all for yourself. You don't need me, but I hope you want me. Jesus left us, but he didn't leave us alone, right? He left us empowered and enabled to discern truth. And I want you to know, you need to be going home and digging into the truth for yourself. He also gave us the ability to have a close, intimate relationship with him. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 11, the writer of Hebrews is speaking of the new covenant. And in that new covenant, he says, no longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me from the least of them to the greatest. And then in Proverbs 8:17, he said, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. If you have ever uttered the statement, I'm not deep enough, spiritually speaking, that is, I have good news for you. Jesus sent his son Jesus to have a close, intimate relationship with you, just like you do with a husband or a wife, a mother, a father, a son, a daughter. I want you to know you can have that kind of relationship with Jesus too. And matter of fact, he created you to have it. The purpose of God sending his son Jesus as a propitiation, which is instead of you, right? He died instead of you, was relationship. God wants and desires a relationship with every one of his creation. I want you to know, even if they don't look like you, act like you, talk like you, everybody in this world, Jesus wants a relationship with. Now, I want to share a story with you today. I started it last week. It's the story of the Pharisee named Saul. Turn to Acts chapter 9, and we're going to start reading today in verse 3, and I'm going to read this lengthy passage to you, and I'm going to teach you some lessons, six lessons from the road for us today if we want to grow deep spiritually. Acts 9, verse 3, as he, Saul, neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell to the ground and he heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? He asked. I am Jesus whom you're persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city and you'll be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. And the Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him and restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim the name of my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road while you as you were coming here, has sent me to you so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. And Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus, and at once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. If your desire is to grow spiritually deeper, you must learn these six lessons from the road. And then on your handout, we began to fill them out last week, so the first three, the answers are already there for you. I'm going to go through them kind of quickly so we can get to the rest of the sermon. Number one is God can change your spiritual direction in a moment. Listen, I don't want to say I don't care, because I do care. That's why I'm here. I'm not concerned about where you are spiritually at this moment, because God can change your spiritual direction in a second. Regardless of what direction you're headed in spiritually, listen, you can be a devil worshiper yesterday and worshiping Jesus today. You can be a Muslim one day and a follower of Jesus the next. You can be anything else except a follower of Jesus at any minute and have an encounter with God just like Saul did and immediately become a follower of Jesus. I want you to know he can wipe out your past, he can make you clean, and you can walk free in a new spiritual direction just like that. How many of you know God's plans will be different than yours? Number two. You know, I have, everybody got a plan? You know what you're doing tomorrow? I got a calendar, right? My calendar says what I'm doing every day. And if I put something new on the calendar so I can remember all the things I got to do. And Peggy will say, what's going on this day? Let me look. And I'll open my calendar. Oh, we got this, we got that. I got a calendar. But you know what? My calendar has my plans on it. And many times, my plans and God's plans don't always look alike. So I've learned what I'm about to tell you in number three is we have to make our plans alterable. My plans, they're all there. They're all there in my phone. They're all there on my calendar, but they all are alterable. They're there, but I'll erase them in a heartbeat if God says something else. I'll change them in a moment if God says, oh, I want you to go do this instead. All right, Lord, I'm going to do this instead. I want you to know your plans better be alterable, because I promise you, you'll find yourself bumping against a wall if not. All right, let's get to number four. Here we go. We're starting where I left off last week. Number four, lesson from the road, we need to learn to partner with like-minded people. Partnering with people that God leads you to partner with, not just the ones that look like you, dress like you, or better than that, even act like you. I want you to know spiritual partnership will not look anything like you want it to look. It won't look like you thought it would look, and it certainly won't look like you hoped it would look. It'll look like God wants it to look. And what happened is, in that story we just read, a man named Ananias, who was a Gentile convert to Christianity, was all of a sudden asked by God to go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and lay his hands on a Pharisee named Saul. Hey, whoa, hold, time out, Jesus. I've heard reports about that man, and could I go somewhere else? Could I go to the house of Judas on Straight Street? Could I go to his next door neighbor instead? Could I go to the guy who lives behind him? Could I go to the guy across the street? And he said, no, I want you to go to that house of Judas on Straight Street. You're going to find a man named Saul. I know what you've heard. I know. Don't worry about what you've heard. I know he's mean. He killed Stephen. He's arrested a whole bunch of others, but don't worry about those things. Just go and do what I've called you to do. All right, Jesus. You sure? Look, Lord, I got 700 contacts in my phone. Could I have another one? You scroll. Like, could we just get to another one? Different one. Look, I got a 700. Just pick one. Just not that one. How many times has the Lord asked you, call this person, call that person, pray with, oh, Lord, I don't want to call. I don't want to call them. Anybody else, Jesus? And that's what Ananias is doing. He's saying, I don't want to partner with him. And Saul was a Jew. He was a Pharisee. Ananias was a Gentile. They don't associate. Matter of fact, the thought that Ananias, this Gentile, was going to come into the house and touch Saul, you ain't actually put your hands on me. And pray. And I'd rather the dogs pray for me than you pray for me. That was the attitude. And yet what happened was at that moment, he had to learn to receive from somebody only a moment before he would have arrested. He would have tortured. He would have put in prison. And Ananias had to adjust his thinking to partner up with God's thinking to do what God wanted him to do. I promise you, your spiritual partnership won't look like you think it ought to look. God, are you sure? That guy, that girl. We got to learn to partner with the people. Listen, partnering with somebody in ministry does not necessarily mean that you agree on 100% of everything that you're talking about, right? What do you mean you don't agree? Well, how many of you married people in the house? I'm just going to ask a simple question. Do you agree 100% of the time with your partner? All right, well, 50% of the time. 25% of the time. All right, 10% of the time. All right, we're closer right there, yeah. But what happens? You choose to walk together anyway, right? Listen, my wife's weird, dude. We don't agree on a lot of things. But I love her, and we choose to walk together. I'm hard to live with. I would just be honest with you. Very difficult to live with. And thank God she chose 35 years ago to walk with me. And I won't let her out. But that's what spiritual partnership. Spiritual partnership is spiritual unity. We don't necessarily agree on everything, but we choose to be together anyway. We choose to do God's plan over our plans. Amen? We need to learn to partner with like-minded people. Number five, we need to lean in to the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. You got to lean in to the power of the Holy Spirit. I said to you, over these last 50 years in the church, especially in America, the church in America, people are coming and gathering in greater numbers than ever before, and we're displaying less power than ever before. And it got silent. In Acts 9:17, Ananias says, went to the house and entered it, placed his hands on Saul, and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me to you so that you may see again. I'm going to heal you and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why do you think that Saul had to be filled with the Holy Spirit? He was about to embark on the hardest, most challenging journey he's ever embarked on in his life. I want you to know, as a follower of Jesus, when you say, yes, Jesus, I'll go and do whatever it is you call me to do, you are saying, I will embark on the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, and you're going to need some help. The Holy Spirit is so misunderstood today in church, and the people of God have made the Holy Spirit misunderstood. I want you to know the Holy Spirit doesn't make himself misunderstood, is that we have taken and messed up the Holy Spirit, his identity in the life of the church, and that should not be. The Holy Spirit has been given to us, the church, so we could be empowered and anointed to go and do what God's called us to do. And I want you to know, yes, you might be kind of successful without him some of the time, but I want you to know, if you want to be successful most of the time, then you better get empowered to do what God's called you to do. Look what Jesus told his disciples in Acts chapter 1. He's risen from the dead. He's preparing his disciples. He says, all right, now I'm really leaving. Been with you 40 days. I'm about to be out of here in just a few minutes. But you got to get this piece. And if you don't get anything else I've taught you, you better understand this one. Look what he said to them in Acts 1:4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jesus knew then, and he's reminding us today, oh, you can attempt. You can attempt to live the Christian life. And like I said, you might be successful some of the time. But if you want to, if you don't want to be successful any of the time, but you want God to be successful all the time, then get empowered with the Holy Spirit. Leaning into the Holy Spirit means that we're filled to be empowered and enabled to go and do what God has called us to do. And I want you to know, the Christian life is hard. How many of you would say, walking with Jesus is hard? Yes. Sometimes, right? Sometimes. It's not hard all the time, and it's not unbearable any other time. It's always good because he never asks us to do it alone. Isn't that the beauty of, I'll never forget, right after I got saved, I always like to be with people. I love people. So I had my own business at the time, and sometimes I would leave my office and go eat lunch. And if I didn't have anybody to eat lunch with, I would just get my food, bring it back to my office, and eat by myself in my office. And one day after I got saved, I go get my lunch. I said, you know, I'm just going to eat it here. So I sat down in this sushi restaurant in New Orleans, and I'm eating by myself, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, you're never going to eat alone again. I was eating. I was like, I'm just going to sit here and chat with myself a little bit. You know, this is all right, Jesus. This is the best lunch I've ever had. As a matter of fact, you're better company than most of the people I bring to lunch. No offense. You know, Zechariah, the prophet, said this, that we'll accomplish the things of God not by might, but not by our might, not by our power, but by his Spirit. Listen, you want to accomplish something for Jesus? You want to go spiritually deeper for Jesus? Then say, Lord, fill me. Empower me because I got stuff to do it. I just can't do it on my own. All right, number 6. Nothing changes until something moves. Acts 9, verse 18 says, immediately. Say, immediately. Immediately. How many of you know that means, like, right now? Right now. I think we just sang a song called Right Now. It said immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again, and he got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. And Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. And at once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. Saul at that moment had a decision to make. Oh, my eyesight's been restored. Will I go back? Will I go and do what I felt God wanted me to do in Damascus and arrest all those who call on his name? Or will I now do something different? I want you to know, 35 years I went to church and I went through spiritual motion. Come in, go out. Come in, go out. Nothing ever changed. And then I developed a real relationship with Jesus. You know what happened? I come to church every Sunday with expectation. Even now, as your pastor, I don't come to church because I have a job to do. I come to church because I get to meet with Jesus. And when I meet with Jesus every Sunday, you know what? I walk out different. And if I walk out different, you better walk out different. I promise you, if you come into church at New Beginnings Church, you should never leave the same way you came. And if you leave in the same way, that must mean you close the door. Not interested. But if you'll open the door and say, Jesus, I came here expecting something. I came here expecting a meeting with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I ain't leaving till I have it. We just had that. And I promise you, I don't know what it is all these people across the front were seeking the breakthrough in, but I promise you, you're going to see some breakthrough in your life. But here's the thing. If you want to see spiritual movement in your life, then it has to be a change. Something has to move. That means you have to decide, when I leave here, everything's different. When I leave today, I'm not doing it the same old way. I don't care what I was like when I walked in the door, but I am not the same human being walking out the door. I am now empowered, filled with God's Spirit for a greater purpose, and I'm not going back the way I came. I want you to know there were some disciples back in the Gospels that had a friend who was crippled, and they brought that crippled friend to Jesus. And the house Jesus was in was full, kind of like today. And they couldn't get him in, couldn't get their friend in front of Jesus. So they climbed up on the roof. Hey, hoist that guy up here. They got him up on the roof. They dug a hole in the roof. They lowered the guy right in front of Jesus. And guess what happened? That man, Jesus looked at that man and said, your sins are forgiven. Now get up and walk. He took his mat and walked out the house. He came in through the roof, walked out through the door. You might have come in through the roof. And Jesus is saying, you ain't leaving through the roof. You're walking out through the door. Because nothing changes till something moves. I want you to know God's created you, and God is growing you up to be the man or woman he created you to be. He created you to be what you are. He created you for this moment in time to do great things for him. And we do that by, we quit comparing ourselves to people. You are good enough. You are smart enough. You are attractive enough. I think the guy's name was Stuart Smalley, right? On Saturday Night Live. I am good enough. I am smart enough. And doggone it, people like me. That's not why I developed this sermon, by the way. But somebody reminded me of that after first service. And listen, and you are deep enough spiritually because you have the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. Would you stand with me? Today, if you are receiving this word of God for your life and you're saying, no, everything from this moment on changes for me, then I want you to come and join me here at the altar. Everything changes from this point forward. I'm not doing it the same way. Not doing it the same way. Can't do things the same way and expect a different outcome, right? The world calls that insanity. Do the same thing you've always done. You'll always get what you've always gotten. We're not doing that. We're making a change today. Look at the people at this altar. They've said the same old has got to go. The status quo has got to go. We're not doing it the way we used to do it. We're doing it a new way. And we're going to do it your way, Jesus. And we thank you and praise you that you call us. You empower us and anoint us to do it your way. And Lord, I know that the good thing about doing it your way is we never do it by ourselves or without you in it. We know that you're going to be in it every step of the way. So we thank you and praise you for that. Now, as we prepare to turn and leave, Lord, I want you to remind every one of these people here across the front, as they prepare to go, that you're with them. If it's a whisper in their ear, a warm embrace, God, I pray that you just remind them, you are with them. You'll never leave them, never forsake them. You've always been with them, and you always will be. And there is a greater purpose for their lives than even they have ever imagined. So we give you our praise and we give you our honor today because you're worthy. And we ask you to go with us as we go in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you.